Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa's John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center and their National Science Foundation I-Corps Training Program, helping faculty, staff, and students make an impact with their innovations and research. More at iowajpec.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. The pandemic has introduced Ralph Savarese to all kinds of new worries. He's an English professor at Grinnell College and has worried about reaching his students through distance learning. He is the son of a vulnerable woman living in an assisted living facility that has had a full-blown COVID outbreak. He's the father of a son whose hard-won life has been upended and boxed in by this pandemic, and he's vulnerable himself with a pre-existing condition. All of this has also inspired him to write. He's just published a new poetry collection with Ice Cube Press. It is When This Is Over, Pandemic Poems, and he is on the line with me now. Hello, Ralph.
Hi, Charity. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you so much for being here. And let's talk about some of the things you've been going through. I mean, we've all been experiencing the heightened anxiety of this pandemic, but for you, it's been personal in so many ways. And I want to start with talking about your mom. Tell me a little bit about the situation she's been living in.
Sure. So she's in an assisted living facility outside Boston. And in that facility, 28 residents died of COVID complications and more than 65 residents were infected. And this started pretty much in April. And so almost right from the beginning, I was dealing with this business of extreme worry about her, but also the sense of isolation and estrangement. I'm in Iowa. I can't travel. I can't help her. I can't see her. I can only speak with her on the phone. And this really kept going for a period of almost 2 months. And it's starting to get scary again in the Northeast.
Well, yeah, it's scary everywhere right now. And
yeah, true.
She also was dealing with that isolation, and you've been very open. You've shared a great deal about this experience with your Facebook friends and through this poetry. But you've also had to deal with the fact that she didn't want to leave that situation.
That's exactly right. And so you know, it's a complicated situation, right? The way we treat elderly people, our parents, to what degree is it an autonomous decision to go into one of these facilities? And then to what degree can a child say, I don't think this is wise? By the time the pandemic really started presenting itself in the United States, it was already a really complicated idea to have her come out of that facility. She was terribly nervous about infecting her grandchildren and her own kids. And then there's all of the depression that arises in the context of such extreme isolation. And I think that also played a role in her deciding to be even more fatalistic than she might have been otherwise.
Hey, would you read one of your poems for us? And it does deal with your mom's situation. It's called Slow Break.
Sure. Slow Break. The hardwoods of the nursing home softly suggest basketball, their yellowish shine like the undertaker's polyurethane. Assisted living, we say, as if the workers were point guards selflessly passing and the residents scores. My mother on her walker goes in for a layup. No granny shots for her. No air balls. But the game's turned darker now. It's halftime in Aleppo. The referee wears a hazmat suit. He can't keep up with the players. One runs screaming from the court. Another mumbles to the dead, who are much more obedient, arranging themselves like firewood, like ready meals in the freezer. 220 miles above the Earth, an astronaut clings to a robotic arm, collecting space trash, delivering pills to the stars. When I dial, an orbiting spider sends out cellular filaments, a sonic thread connecting us. I'm coming to get you, I say. The referee calls traveling.
That is Slow Break from When This Is Over, Pandemic Poems by Ralph Savarese. And I also mentioned your son, and your son, DJ Savarese, has been a guest on this program. He is a poet himself, and he is also autistic, and he has worked so hard to create a life for himself where he can engage with the world as a full individual. It's been an incredible struggle, and you found that for him, this pandemic has really taken so much away from him. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, so you know, anybody who knows anything about disability or studied disability knows about the concept of a kind of shut-in, somebody who's been excluded, who remains at home almost exclusively. And so my son, until the pandemic started, was traveling all over the country, doing trainings, giving talks, showing his documentary, and all of that came to a halt. The one thing I will say is he's been very, very good, much better than his father, at trying to keep those connections alive through the internet. And so he's, you know, made the transition to webinars and to daily phone calls and daily Zoom sessions with a whole range of people. So I really admire that. But I think it's been quite hard for all of us, but for him in particular, to sort of feel like your home is the barrier, that you're not gonna venture much farther than the walls of your home.
Yeah. So all of this has been going on, and I mentioned that you have a pre-existing condition, so that's stressful for you as well. How has this inspired and sparked your creativity? I've heard from so many other people who have said, I just shut down. I can't create. I can barely get my job done. But this clearly has lit a fire for you.
Great question. Two things. The extreme powerlessness with respect to my mother seemed almost paradoxically to make it possible for me to do something on the page. It wasn't going to help her. It wasn't going to save her. And by sheer luck, she wasn't infected and didn't die. So that's one thing. The second thing is I totally changed the way I orient myself to writing. I'm much more accustomed to reflecting on experience from a great distance, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and writing poems that way. What I decided I'd do is I'd try to write every single day and respond to something about the pandemic, whether it was my mother, whether it was teaching, and see whether those poems could be tethered really very closely to the moment. And so it took the pressure off. I didn't know that this was going to become a book. I was just writing and trying to write differently and be attentive to the way the pandemic emerged and then accelerated.
Well, and this has been a very quick publication, which, of course, is unusual in the book world.
Yeah.
But in reading these poems, I mean, so much of what you've experienced is what I've experienced. Obviously, our situations aren't the same, but this pandemic has affected everyone. There are none of us who have been untouched by it. And I found myself deeply empathizing with the anxiety that comes through in the poetry and the experiences that you've had. And it's only been out now for, what, a week or so. But how are people responding to these poems? They're so of the moment.
Yeah, so it's funny because somebody said to me, what do you think people will, how will people read this book even in a year? Let's say in 2 years we're over the pandemic. Will it seem like some kind of historical relic? I've heard from a lot of people who have similar predicaments with their own parents or with their children or themselves, medically compromised in some way. And I think I've been pleasantly surprised that as anxious as the poems might be, they also insist on the persistence of hope, the ability to adapt, the ability to recreate community in new ways. And so I think I've been surprised and pleased. And kudos to Steve Semkin at Ice Cube Press. They moved incredibly quickly with this book.
Well, and it does, it feels so present in the moment. How do you think you'll look at these poems, or other people will react to these poems in a couple of years? It's almost like a time capsule.
Yeah, I think that's true. I don't know. I wonder if 2 years from now, let's say the pandemic is over and we've figured out a way to neutralize the virus more or less. Let's just stipulate that. I don't know whether we'll go back to living the way we used to live, or whether we'll live in a new way with a greater appreciation of, say, for example, the air. We'll just take the air for granted, and suddenly maybe we won't do that as much. I don't know. I'm curious.
Well, and speaking of the air, your phone line is a little bit fuzzy. So I was going to ask you to read another one of your poems called When This Is Over. But with your permission, I'd like to read it since I have a little clearer connection. Does that sound okay to you?
Sure, sure.
All right.
Yeah, please do.
This is When This Is Over by Ralph Savarese. Every house in the neighborhood is on a ventilator. It's called an HVAC system, which, among other things, moves fresh air in and stale air out. Think of it as a lung within lungs. Think of it as intubated living. A house has to breathe, my HVAC guy says. He's a doctor of sorts. A sick one doesn't. For decades, we've wrapped our homes so tightly in Tyvek that even our thoughts can't escape. Every mind's an aquarium. Thoughts go round and round. A stranger taps at the window. We want, it seems, an impermeable barrier, as if our lives were ships and the world a wave that would sink us. The hospital plays hide and seek. I see you. Yet we must have it backwards. The patients all wear personal protective equipment, while the chief attendings, the trees, stand naked above us. In my dream, our old Victorian climbs out of bed and says, to no one in particular, come in. And that's from Ralph Savarese's new collection, When This Is Over, Pandemic Poems. Have you found that your creativity, the writing continues? You've put this collection together, but are you continuing to write with the same kind of fervor?
I am, and I wish I had discovered these new ways of writing or of orienting myself to writing earlier, because I have. I mean, what else are we able to do? I'm not traveling, I'm not socializing a ton, and I'm on sabbatical currently, and that will end in January. And so I've been reading, making food, and writing.
How do you think this experience has changed you? You talked about how, you know, will we go back to where we were before? Will we feel the same way that we did before? How about you? Do you think that you will return to quote-unquote normal?
Another great question. I mean, it's forced me as a teacher to really think again about what a pleasure and a privilege it is to be in a classroom with other human beings wrestling with ideas, and trying to make that just as dynamic online. It's been a challenge, I think, for all of us. So I think as a teacher, I'm going to be different. As a father, I think I have work to do in handling risk, understanding, let's say, that my mother might make decisions that are different from the ones that I might make, that my son might do the same. I don't know. I'm going to think about that. I'll send you an email.
All right. Well, it is a hard question. It's one, I think, you know, I remember early in the pandemic, a lot of people were talking about, you know, what do we want to change? How do we reinvent things when we get through this? But at that point, I think a lot of people felt like it was going to be 3 months. And now, as we do go through this for longer, and, you know, we miss the things that we loved before, we miss so many of the things that we used to be able to take for granted, just a simple hug or gathering with friends or family, things that felt so normal, maybe even annoying at times. It feels almost like we're talking less about how we want things to be different and more about how we want things to be as they were before. So it's interesting. But also, I mean, Ralph, so many things have been revealed through the pandemic. We've talked a lot about how our, you know, the systemic racism in our culture has been revealed in a new way through the pandemic. That's something else that you write about in this collection. We've seen that there are so many vulnerabilities that people have. The social safety net that isn't there has been revealed in new ways through this pandemic. Do you see the world in a different way now?
Well, you know, I'm glad you mentioned that, because these sort of health disparities have, as you suggest, have been revealed in a kind of the most brutal fashion. Thinking about, the percentages of the fatalities across different groups. I think about folks with disabilities, too, and just access questions even more intensely than I did. And I also think as someone who recently turned 57, what does it mean to be someone older or heading toward that group? And what is a country, what is an individual, should we be demanding or expecting for the lives of those who are part of that group, even more intensely than ever?
Ralph Savarese, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Thank you, Charity, for having me on.
Ralph Savarese is the author of the new collection of poetry, When This Is Over, Pandemic Poems. He will be reading and conversing also with Stephen Cusisto, also an incredible poet. And if you don't know his work, you should definitely look him up. They'll be part of the Writers at Grinnell series tomorrow night. This is also organized through Prairie Lights. Of course, it is a virtual event. The event is free, but you need to register at prairielights.org. That is tomorrow evening, October 29th, 7 p.m. through Prairie Lights Virtual. Ralph Savarese and Steve Cusisto with Writers at Grinnell. Again, the collection is When This Is Over, Pandemic Poems. Ralph Savarese is a professor of English at Grinnell College. Talk of Iowa is a production of Iowa Public Radio. Our producers are Rick Brewer, Matt Alvarez, Caitlin Harrop, and Dennis Reese. Our executive producer is Catherine Perkins. You never need to miss an episode of Talk of Iowa. You can subscribe to our podcast anywhere you get your podcasts. Just search for Talk of Iowa. I'm Charity Nebbe. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa's John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center and their National Science Foundation I-Corps Training Program, helping faculty, staff, and students make an impact with their innovations and research. More at iowajpec.org.